Yeah, I did forget. Good morning, everybody. I'm glad to be here today. Beginning of a new week, or the end of the previous week, whichever you choose to consider it. Either way, I'm happy to be here. We're going to talk today about a simple word called perspective. Can you hear me back there?
Yes.
Okay. I might need to... Perspective. Give you a couple definitions of the word perspective. Perspective is a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something, a point of view, the ability to understand what is important and what isn't, a specific point of view in understanding or judging things or events. This past week I was forced to have a little perspective on a situation that affected a lot of people in my neighborhood. And it affected me personally, it affected my wife, it affected my kids and surrounding homes. I don't remember which one talked about it. I think it might have been you when Peter and John were at the beautiful gate and they had healed the lame man. Was it? It was one of you. I don't remember which. But there was a certain verse that struck me that I had never really considered or had a perspective about until just recently. But I wanted to talk about that today. I wanted to try to use that story and get a little perspective on how that man felt. So we're going to start in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Acts 3, verse 1. This is a story that most of us probably have heard either growing up or in past time. And I've read it and heard it taught many times before, but this particular time, one verse struck me a little bit differently. So because of that one verse, it made me have a little bit more perspective on the story. So before we get into that, I just want to clarify, this is right after what Steve calls Pete and the boys. Peter had Pentecost, they get the Holy Spirit, they all get filled with the Holy Ghost, they're going around healing, teaching, preaching, all crazy sorts of stuff. Casting out devils, working miracles, you know, things that would be really neat to see these days. So, I just want to get that cleared out. So, chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. There's a lot going on in that verse that we're going to unpack here, at least try to. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms? We got a beggar. Okay? Every day, that guy was carried to that same spot. And you could probably imagine, maybe there was grass around, but not where he was sitting every single day. You got that bare dirt spot, right? You probably have seen it on your journeys about the city, in the median, on the side of the road, somebody holding up a sign, trying to make eye contact. Right? Looking for a connection. Now, the message isn't necessarily about the timing of why this happened, when it happened, but more about perspective of that lame man. According to Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written before aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We can still use this for our learning, right? What are some things in your experience, in your past, have changed your perspective on something? Could be anything. What in your history or experiences has caused you to change your perspective on a thing, event? Throw some out to me. Being a parent. Whoa, good one. Perspective change. Being a parent. What's another one?
Marriage.
Marriage. Good one.
Maturity.
What's that? Kindness.
Okay. Thank you. What was the fifth one? Kindness? Failure. Failure.
Oh, it's sorry. And always.
Yeah. Being sorry? Is that what you mean? Being sorry about something? Okay. What else?
Happy. Happiness
changes your perspective. Okay.
Reality.
Mm-hmm.
Sudden change. If you go into the military or move away for the first time, something like that.
I don't know if that's right. Reality. Close. No good?
Great.
Sickness.
Grief.
Thank you.
Demands.
Demands? Yeah. I thought that would be up higher on the list, but all right. These are all really good. How about
divorce?
Divorce. Okay. These are all really good.
Work.
Cleaning. That would kind of be under work, right? We'll put that one under work.
Loss.
Love.
Comparison.
Comparison. Good ones. Hi. Thank you.
Right division.
Okay. We're going to put that one up here. These are all really good in changing your perspective on things.
Long division.
Long division? Is that what you said? That changed my perspective a lot when I was a child. Actually, it changed my mother's perspective for me as well. I wasn't too patient when it came to long division. These are all really good. Thank you for those answers. I was expecting maybe five, but this is really good. All these things can change your perspective in life, in events, in how you deal with people, how you deal with yourself, you know, giving yourself grace or just different situations in life. So let's get back to this man who was born lame. This guy was carried to a gate to beg for alms every day. You can imagine when he was young, he probably got more than what he's getting now. Because if I'm going to help somebody, my heart would go out to, who's the first one you would think of? A child. Young or old. Here's why I say this. If you turn real quick, let's get some perspective. If you turn real quick to Acts 4:22, this man that we're talking about that was lame since birth was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. That's the verse that struck me. Because I am above 40 years old. I'm 42. I don't know why I had never noticed that verse. But for me, it's like, why was that put there? Why was that verse important to put in there? So I'm just doing a little bit more thinking into it. Like I said, the first person that I would want to give money to would be either the young or the old, in my view. And I think in general, folks are more compassionate to a child first, and the elderly second. I'm sure people looked on that young lad with pity. How unfortunate. How sad. Absolutely. I'll give this young boy some alms. Whatever they had. Maybe even into his teens, when they saw the other kids walking by, jumping, playing. Possibly even into his 20s. How unfortunate. Such a young life. Wasted. That's their perspective, right? Having to sit there all day. Having somebody carry that man there every single day. His perspective of people was probably very low at this point. This miracle happened. On people in general. Because having that experience when he was younger, I got a lot more when I was a kid. I'm into my 40s now. People see me here every day. Can you imagine the bitterness that this guy felt? Because if I'm walking by this same guy every day, holding up a sign, trying to make eye contact. Again, I'm just thinking into this. This guy would look at these people walk by, dressed up, feeling good about themselves, walking along, standing upright, perfect posture, walking right past him or ignoring him. And every single day he's trying to make eye contact, trying to get them to look at his perspective on things. He was looking for a connection. He was basically asking them through eye contact, can you see what I see? Can you see my perspective on life? My perspective on you walking by me every single day and me just having my hand out. He probably had to change his tactics. One day, maybe he'd pull his legs, you know, his garments up to show his legs that they didn't work. After a while, that probably got old. People would definitely, okay, you don't want to see that anymore. Maybe he would just change his hand up just to hang his head and stick his hand up. Maybe that worked for a little bit. His bitterness was probably so high, I can't even imagine. How many of us do this even today with people in the city? We see the sign, oh man, here's another one. Whew. I'm guilty. Just don't make eye contact, don't make eye contact, don't make eye contact. I can't see him, you can't see me. We do it. They try to catch the gaze, the eye contact. They want you to see perspective. If you can catch your gaze, maybe, just maybe, you can see him, not his disability, not what you think he's there for. Maybe you see his perspective on life, and maybe have pity on his point of view. At 42, you could ask my wife, I'm super flexible in my attitude and change opinion at people and life, etc. She probably won't agree. And this guy that was sitting at the temple certainly wasn't get as much charity as maybe the younger folks or the older folks he's sitting next to, so he's probably bitter at them too. He knew this was probably about the worst time for charity in his life. And he had settled into that focus, that perspective. When we were younger, there was a guy in our school that would point out when somebody had a bad attitude. And I remember Steve used to what's the right word to use without being harsh? Imitate that young boy. And whenever one of us in our family would have a bad attitude, bad attitude, bad attitude, bad attitude. Oh,
that
was
silly.
It was silly, big guy. He would do this. I can imagine that guy had a bad attitude, as I would. So here comes Peter and John. Enter stage right, Peter and John. Acts 3, let's go over this one more time. Peter and John went out together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, who we know was plus 40, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Hey, alms. Alms. I mean, you got to hit as many people as you can walking by, right? And you got to be quick about it. Alms! 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 You cover as much ground as you can. I say that tongue in cheek. You ask as many people as you can. Who, seeing Peter and John, asked to go into the temple, asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Payday. I got him. Yes. I got you. You can see me. Can you imagine how that made him feel? Look on us. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, come on. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Okay. Right here. He's made a connection. They see his perspective. I'm getting paid. I'm getting a little bit of charity. They can see it. And then the bombshell, the letdown. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. All right, here we go. Hello. Next. Moving on. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Can you imagine the roller coaster in this guy's thought process? He makes the connection. and then the letdown. And then this guy says something he probably wasn't expecting. And then the guy said something that he never understood. How could he? He never walked. He never was able to rise up.
42 years.
For 40 plus years, right? Rise up and walk? Either this is a joke and you're just mocking me. First, you don't have any money. Then you tell me to rise up and walk. Now it's personal, right? It went from connection, let down. Maybe he felt like he was just being mocked. Rise up and walk. Oh, okay. Yeah. 40-some years old. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
In verse 7, he says, Peter took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Never knew what that was. Didn't even have an inkling of what that meant until it happened. In verse 8 he said, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. First time. There's a saying in the fitness world is that you don't skip leg day. This was this man's leg day. He had a different perspective on things after this.
That's nice.
He understood through a life change, a physical change, what a new perspective meant on life and what was possible and what he could do. He went from bitterness to watching people walk by to frustration to connection, let down, maybe felt like he was being mocked, to something he never even knew he would have. Can you imagine his gratefulness? His joy? How has our perspective changed since we have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God? Are we still stuck in the rut of bitterness from years of false promises made by mainstream Christianity? How can your perspective change? Are you studying your Bible or still expecting the pastor to do it for you? We talk about this quite a bit. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. I want to understand this better. But if you're not getting into and opening your Bible and studying it for yourself, how can you? It's like not going to exercise and expecting to have muscular definition,
to be stronger,
to be better at lacrosse. If you don't practice, if you don't study God's Word, if you don't study on your own, your perspective won't change as soon as it could have. If you're in a church and start studying to show yourself approved, you will, for the most part, if you rightly divide your Bible, you're going to start asking questions, and you will be asked to leave. Maybe your questions don't align with mainstream Christianity. It's hard, but it's the truth. And according to Romans 3:4, if you make that choice, you will, Romans 3:4. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Will you be willing to stand up and realize that we all have been called according to Ephesians 4:12? Let's turn to that. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We all have been ordained, not just a few nominees in a church. Every single one of us have been ordained. Bible study and prayer will change your perspective to be ready to minister to others in their time of need. Go to 2 Timothy real quick. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 2. Actually, we'll just start in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Somehow, I wrote the wrong one down. But that's a good one too. Same chapter again, 2:15, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you come to that realization, and you stop wrongly combining and putting the Bible in a blender, and you start realizing that things are written to certain people at certain times, and you don't go along with mainstream Christianity and the way they think, you're going to be asked to leave, which actually might be one of the best things you could do for yourself.
Amen.
If you stay in the Word, studying it, rightly divided, and you can have a perspective change and be able to deal with people and listen to people in their time of need and be able to help them in their life situations. I had something, well, we had something happen this week that forced a perspective change in me, and it's never easy when you have to change your perspective. Not always. I'm not going to go into detail out of respect for the situation, but I want us all to be able to change our perspective when the time comes, to be open and soft and be ready to listen and ready to help others at that time, and to be able to share with them the gospel of the grace of God. I wish I could find that verse. Ha! Just found it. It's chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Here's your ordination speech. Every one of us sitting in here today. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof thy ministry. The only way you're going to make full proof your ministry is studying God's word, rightly divided, making sure you know how to answer any person who comes up and asks to the best of your ability, understanding God's word rightly divided. I will go ahead and close in prayer, but I still want to talk to you folks just for a short amount of time. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we had to meet together and to just be in your word, and thank you for the opportunity to change perspective. As difficult as it is sometimes, and as stubborn as I can be, sometimes the 2x4 is needed across the head. So thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for these folks and their willingness to come. And thank you again for this time. Amen.